I'm glad to see you here and saw the need to come this way. I'll ask you once again to open your Bible this evening to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Once again, at this time, I want to read verses 1 through 7 of this particular passage. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns." That's reading once again verses 1 through 7 of Revelation 17. I'd like to have each head bowed, please, and each eye closed. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Tracy Jones if he'll lead us at this time. Amen. At this time, we want to teach the 30th and last part of the series entitled The False World Church. In the weeks prior, we have stated that set forth here in Revelation 17 is the false world church, or the apostate world church. And here, as we study this chapter, we find the false world church headed up under Rome. Here we find Rome in the driver's seat, or Rome at the helm, so to speak. Now someone may say, "Preacher, if this involves the Roman Catholic Church, then why is she called Babylon in verse number 5? She is called Babylon in verse number 5 because Romanism is really just another form of Babylonianism. The religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. Now in the weeks past, we stated that we were going to go back and deal with the beginning of Babylon as is recorded in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. This we've already done. Babylonianism had its beginning in Babylon. And we have traced Babylonianism through the Scriptures till we came back here to Revelation chapter 17. And in the weeks past, we've already begun dealing with this particular chapter. As we begin dealing with this chapter, we stated that it can be looked at as follows. First, in verses 1 through 6, the system is exposed. Second, in verses 7 through 15, the secret is explained. And then third, in verses 16 through 18, the system is extinguished. Not only that, but in verse number 1, I have directed your attention to the fact that this verse is the key verse of this chapter. The key verse of a chapter tells us the subject or the theme of a chapter. And this verse tells us that the subject or the theme of this chapter is the judgment of this great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Or in other words, the judgment of this false world church headed up under Rome. Now in the weeks prior, we've already dealt with verses 1 through 7 of this particular chapter. And while dealing with verses 1 through 7, we've also had the opportunity of dealing with some of the other verses here in this chapter. We've already dealt with verse number 9. We've already dealt with verse number 12. We've already dealt with verse number 15. We've already dealt with verse number 18. Therefore, at this time, because we do not want to repeat material which we've already presented, we don't want to cover ground which we've already covered, therefore, this time, I'm going to go to verses 16 and 17 and deal with these particular verses. Now, in doing this, you realize that we're not going to deal with some of the verses found in this chapter. And the reason that we're not going to deal with these particular verses is because that these verses deal primarily with the beast, or in other words, the Antichrist. And since the theme of this series is not the Antichrist or the beast, but since the theme of this chapter is the woman or this whore or this false world church, we're going to deal strictly or primarily with the verses dealing with this whore. Therefore, let's look at verse number 16. Here in verse number 16, the Word of God says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." Verse 17 says, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." Now let's back up and look at verse number 16 here. Here in this particular verse, the Word of God says, "And the 10 horns." We've dealt with these 10 horns in the weeks past. Look at verse number 3. The Word of God says, "So it carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman seated upon a scarlet colored beast." The same beast mentioned in Revelation 11, verse 7. The Antichrist. "Full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads." According to verse number 9, these 7 heads first have reference to 7 mountains. And as we dealt with this verse, I pointed out that this verse makes it very clear that Rome is involved here. Rome, the lofty city which sits on 7 peaks. Then notice further in verse number 3. The Word of God says, "Having 7 heads and 10 horns." According to verse number 12, these 10 horns are 10 kings. Now, as I've already said in the past, verse number 3 is setting before us the beast or the Antichrist as the ruler of the revived Roman Empire. My friend, the Roman Empire is going to be revived. And it's going to consist of 10 confederated kings ruled over by the Antichrist. The revived Roman Empire is going to consist of 10 confederated kings, 10 confederated nations ruled over by the Antichrist. We dealt with this in the weeks past while dealing with verse number 3. The book of Daniel makes it very clear that these 10 confederated nations are all going to be found within the boundaries of the old Roman Empire.
And of course, the boundaries of the old Roman Empire involved Western Europe. And that's exactly why today that we're seeing nations in Western Europe today moving closer and closer and closer together. This is the reason. This is the reason. So here we find the Antichrist ruling the revived Roman Empire consisting of 10 confederated nations. Now, look at verse number 16. And the 10 horns, or these 10 kings, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Look back at verse number 3 again. Verse number 3, we find the Antichrist, or the beast, in connection with these 10 kings, supporting this whore. In verse number 3, the word of God says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman seated upon a scarlet colored beast." I dealt with this in the weeks prior. Here we find the Antichrist, the ruler of these 10 confederated nations, supporting this false world church. This false world church. Now, my friend, listen. During the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the Antichrist, as the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, is going to support this false world church. He's going to support this religious harlot. He's going to support her. During the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the Antichrist, along with these 10 confederated kings, 10 confederated nations, is going to be under the influence of this whore, the influence of her prestige and possessions and power. Right. Oh, yes. Right. But here in verse number 16, the Word of God tells us that these 10 horns that are in agreement with the beast, with the Antichrist, they are going to hate the whore. So we find a change here. Mm-hmm. My friend, there's going to be a change in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. There's going to be a change in the middle of the tribulation period. These are no longer going to support this whore, but they're going to strip her. They're going to strip her. They're going to destroy her. They're going to turn upon this false world church, the very one that they have supported for 3.5 years. They're going to turn upon her, and the Word of God says they're going to hate her. Now let's look at verse number 16. Here we find this false world church on the highest pinnacle of pride, and at the high point of glory, she's going to be cut down. These 10 kings, along with the Antichrist, are going to clip her wings, so to speak. And her destruction here is spoken of as in 5 stages. 5 things we find in verse 16. Let's look at them. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. The word hate there tells us that this whore is going to be detested. Detested by these 10 kings. She's going to be hated. She's going to be detested by these kings. My friend, this false world church is going to reap what she has sown. She is hating the saints of God. She's hating the saints of God. And she's going to reap what she has sown because here she's going to be hated by her own partners in Christ. The Antichrist, along with these 10 kings, is going to have an affair during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period with this religious harlot. But that affair is going to come to an end in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. And the Word of God here says that they're going to detest her. They're going to hate her. They're going to turn against her. That's what the Word of God is telling us here. Not only that, but notice further here in verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou throwest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate.
Not only are they going to detest her, they're going to make her desolate. Or in other words, they're going to despoil her. They're going to utterly waste her. Right. That's what the Word of God is telling us here.
Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 5 talks about widows indeed. And there in connection with a widow, he uses this word desolate. The same word that's used here. And a widow indeed is a woman from whom support has been withdrawn. That's a widow indeed. My friend, here we find one from whom support has been withdrawn. And here we find that they're going to make her desolate. Here we find her as an abandoned woman.
Not only that, but notice further here in verse number 16. The Word of God says, "And the 10 horns which thou throwest upon the beast, he shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked." The word naked here tells us that she's going to be disgraced. She's going to be detested. She's going to be desolate. She's going to be disgraced. The Word of God says, and naked. The word naked here is the translation of the Greek word from which we get our English word gymnast. And a gymnast is one that wears very little clothing. A gymnast is one that lays aside the outer garments of beauty and finery. Now here in verse number 4, we find this whore decked out in the tinsel and finery of this world. But here we find her stripped. Here we find her disgraced. And when one is stripped and made naked, they are exposed for what they are.
Right.
And my friend, in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, in the middle of the tribulation period, this false world church is going to be exposed. This whore, this religious harlot, is going to be exposed for what she really is. Surely that's so. Not only that, but notice further here in verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou thrust upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh. That tells us that she's going to be devoured. These kings, along with the Antichrist, are no doubt going to glut themselves upon this woman. But the Word of God is telling us they're going to devour her. They're going to satisfy their hunger on that which made her what she was. Eat her flesh. Notice further. Not only that, notice further. John here says, and burn her with fire. She's going to be destroyed. My friend, this false world church is going to be destroyed in the middle of the tribulation period. The Word of God here says that they're going to burn her with fire. When you burn something, it's destroyed.
Right.
It's destroyed. It's brought to nothing. And my friend, this false world church is going to be destroyed. She's going to meet her destruction in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. She's going to be brought to nothing. She's going to be brought to naught. That's what the Word of God is telling us here in this passage of Scripture. Here we find the destruction. In the Word of God, we read about the dawn, the design, the development, the disillusion, the description, the dominion, and the destruction of this false world church. And here we have her destruction. She's going to be destroyed.
Here in verse number 16, we have the intensity of her destruction. But notice now in verse number 17. Notice now in verse number 17, we have the instruments of her destruction. Look here in verse 17. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will. Now notice this. For God, not the devil. It says, for God, my friend, behind the destruction of this false world church, we find a sovereign God.
Yes,
amen. That's what John's telling us here. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will. Now notice. Notice here in verse number 17, the two expressions, their hearts, His will. You see that? For God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will. My friend, these 10 kings that destroy this false world church are going to be mere tools or instruments in the hands of the Almighty God. They are going to unknowingly fulfill the will of God. When they destroy this false world church, unknowingly, they are carrying out the will of God. Unknowingly, they are carrying out the set purpose of God. And you know, when I read this verse, it makes me think about Psalm chapter 76 and verse number 10. And I'd like for you to turn your Bible there, if you would please. This is an outstanding verse. Here in Psalm 76:10, the Word of God says this, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The word thee there has reference to the Lord. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. There we find wrath ruled. Notice further, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. There is wrath overruled. My friend, here the Word of God is telling us in verse 10 that God makes the wrath of man to pay him. The devil may blow the far and melt the yarn, but God comes along and fashions the yarn according to His purposes. Beside verse number 10, I wrote this down. The wrath of man is yoked to the chariot wheel of God's decrees. Degrees. The wrath of man is yoked to the chariot wheel of God's decrees. My friend, this verse is telling us, that Pharaoh, Herod, the Antichrist, or whoever it may be, whatever they do, at least, it will bring glory to God. Because God makes the wrath of man to pay him. There's no doubt in my mind. When the devil had Nebuchadnezzar carry Daniel off into Babylon and those Hebrew boys, there's no doubt in my mind the devil thought that he was getting the best of those fellas. But my friend, God made it back far in his face, and God used Daniel and those Hebrew boys in a mighty way in Babylon. There's no doubt in my mind when the devil had Domitian, the Roman emperor, banish John to the Isle of Patmos. No doubt he thought he was getting the best of John. They banished John. They let him stay on the Isle of Patmos and starve to death and labor in the mines with the slaves. And no doubt the devil thought he'd gotten rid of that John, that preacher. But God made it back far in his face, and God used John the Beloved in a mighty way on the Isle of Patmos. You see, my friend, he makes the wrath of man to pay him. And here we find that these 10 kings are merely tools or instruments in the hands of a sovereign, almighty God. Here it says, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Shall be fulfilled. Let me summarize this. According to the Word of God, the next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture. The Lord Jesus is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the saints of God are going to be taken out of this world. And my friend, those that profess Christianity but do not possess Christ are going to be left behind. They're religious, but they're going to be left behind. And the Word of God makes it clear that they're going to get together, get together, get together. And there's going to be one large, one big world church headed up under Rome. Under Rome. And my friend, this church, this false world church is going to be a reality and be in full power for the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. For those 3.5 years, she is going to be supported by the Antichrist. And it's through this beast, or the Antichrist, that her claims is going to be carried out and enforced. But in the middle of the tribulation period, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a change. The Antichrist and these 10 kings are going to turn against this whore. They're going to turn against this religious harlot. They're going to hate her. And they're going to bring destruction upon her, as is spoken of here in verse number 16. And when this false world church is destroyed, when she is destroyed in the middle of the tribulation period, this will pave the way for the worship of the beast, as is spoken of in Revelation chapter 13. When this false world church is destroyed, this will pave the way for the worship of the beast. And in the middle of the tribulation period is when the Antichrist, after he destroys this false world church, he is going to go into Jerusalem, he's going to go into the temple, sit down in the Holy of Holies, and say that he's God, and beside him there is none other, and he's going to demand worship. First 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to rule the revived Roman Empire, consisting of these 10 confederated nations. But the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, he's going to rule the world. I said the last 3.5 years, he's going to rule the world and demand worship. Demand worship. Now, in closing, let me say a few things. The liberals and the modernists today are crying for a one world church. And the devil is doing his best to give it to them. The Tugs movement is helping to bring about a one world church. The ecumenical movement is helping to bring about a one world church.
That's right.
It's working to bring about a one world church. But my friend, you cannot take a hodgepodge of doctrines and declarations and denials and disbeliefs and throw them or toss them into a common melting pot and call the ecumenical soup Christianity.
That's right.
God's not in it.
That's right.
God's not in it. The dream of a false, or the dream of a one world church is nothing new. Man dealt with this and had this dream back in 1910 in Edinburgh. I could go back to 1925 and deal with Stockholm. I could deal with 1977 and Lausanne. This is nothing new. My friend, the liberals and modernists are working to bring about a one world church.
the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches is working to bring about a one world church. The formation of the World Council of Churches took place in 1948. Since then, it has grown to be a power. She consists today of 242 denominations and over 400 million members. They're working to bring about a one world church. Not only that, but the Roman Catholic Church has taken the lead in this movement. And she is working to bring about a one world church. A one world church. Pope John XXIII, who was elected in 1958 on October the 28th, called two ecumenical councils to set the wheels in motion to bring about a one world church. Much could be said concerning this matter. Much that we've not said. Many people today seem to have the idea that Rome or the Roman Catholic Church has changed. She has changed her face. And I might say this, she has many faces. The face that she displays in England is not the face she displays in Ireland. The face she displays here in the United States of America is not the face she displays in South America. She has changed her face, but it's only an external change. Her heart has never changed. The Roman Catholic Church today, instead of calling those religious people that are not in her ranks, instead of calling them heretics like she always has, she now calls them brethren that have erred. Right now, the Roman Catholic Church is playing one of its most strategic roles in world affairs, and she's never won and wooed so many devotees. Right now, the Roman Catholic Church, as I said last week, is increasing with leaps and bounds, is advancing, is increasing, is gaining ground. And the closer and closer and closer we get to Daniel's 70th week, the more we'll see it. Because this false world church is going to be headed up under Rome. She's changed her face. But she's never changed her heart. And I dealt with this in the weeks prior as we dealt with Revelation 2. She never will change her heart. God tells us that in chapter 2 of this book. This reminds me of Jezebel that we read about in the Old Testament scriptures. If you read concerning Jezebel, one of the last things that she did was to paint her face. One of the last acts that she did was to paint her face. But although she painted her face, she still had the same wicked heart. Romanism has changed its face. But her heart is still the same. And today we find her courting the world. Here in chapter 17, we have the false world church headed up under Rome. Before that we quit this evening, I will say that I'm thankful. I thank God for helping me and giving me the privilege to teach this series for the past 30 weeks entitled The False World Church. He's helped me. He's strengthened me. He's empowered me. He's given me liberty to do so. I've had great liberty in teaching this series from week to week. And I thank the Lord for that. And if you have been helped and strengthened or blessed, encouraged, instructed from this series, you thank the Lord. He's the one that's due the credit and all the glory. I know that it was the Lord's will that I teach this series. I know that the Lord was in it. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I've not told anybody this but my wife. I've not discussed it with the pastor. 2 months before I began teaching this series here on Sunday evenings in the training hour, I was leaving the I left the church here one Sunday evening, was headed home, driving down the road, and I got to thinking about something that I hadn't thought about before. I got to thinking of how good it would be to teach this series on Sunday evening during training hour. I said that would really be a help to the church and really be a help to the people and be an encouragement and be instructive. And the Lord just really impressed my heart with that evening. And I prayed about that. I said, Lord, if that's your will, you know I'd love to do that. And I said, I leave that in your hands. And that happened a couple more times that week. He really impressed my heart with that. And I prayed about it. And I said, if you want me to teach that, I said, you're going to have to deal with the pastor's heart about that. You're going to have to do something about it, not me. About 2 weeks after that, I was coming in out here one Sunday morning through the doors, and the pastor asked me if I teach the series or teach concerning Babylon as it's found here in Revelation 17. There's no doubt in my mind that the Lord laid it on his heart to ask me. I knew when he asked me that morning that the Lord had answered prayer and that was his will. I knew that. I thank each one that's come week after week. I know you prayed for me. It's been much encouragement to me along the way. I'm also thankful for this church, you people, that supports the Back to Calvary broadcast. We desire your prayers. Ask you to continue to pray for us. Thank you much. I'd like to have each head bowed and each eye closed.